Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome to the Ages of Rock. This is episode 149. Why are you laughing already, Bill? You
sound like... Hello, welcome to the Ages of Rock.
Well, I've got a little bit of the holiday crud, I guess, being around, you know, so many people over the holidays. I think I picked up something, which I wasn't around anyone who was sick, so...
Speaking of picking up something, I'm going to pick up this beautiful coffee mug.
Fancy coffee mug.
Oh, where'd you get a mug like that?
Yes, his wife's asking.
I was born with it.
Well, I would have my Big Kiss mug that I got from Alan, and but I don't. I have this. Bill gave me
he gave me some water.
He gave me a liquor. this show is going to be the last one aired in 2018. So we're going to use this as our year wrap up. Plus, we're going to talk about, we went to see the Rock and Roll Residency. This was their last show of their regular Tuesday night thing that they've been doing. What was it, 5 years now, they said?
Four to five years.
And they said five a couple times. So that's why I watched a lot of the video. So I don't know. Anyway, 4 years, we'll say. But they said that they may do some surprise pop-ups and everything. It's just unfortunate that fortunate that we got to go, but it's unfortunate that we waited to the last freaking show to see these guys play, because I'm sure these guys will agree with me. It was probably one of the best rock shows that I've seen in a long, long time. I mean, I went there expecting a good show, and I saw a great show. I mean, it was so... If you want to start talking about that first,
before we do our... I'm just glad we went to the last show.
Why?
Because if it had been the first show,
we'd have been going every Tuesday night.
Yeah, that would have not been good. So it worked. I've told people that I think that might be one of the best shows I've ever seen. Wow. Just in the fact of having all of that talent in one room playing together, and it not being an ego thing at all. It was really cool. And it's hard to explain. So, you know, it's hard to explain to a lot of people, you know, when you're into music and stuff like that, and you're into going to concerts and stuff like that, the experience, because people experience those things in a lot of different levels. So,
right.
I went with, just the expectation that I knew, you know, Jeremy and Phil, and I knew, Ryan was going to be there, and sure. I knew other people were going to be there. But other than that, my expectations were I get to see some guys I think are great players play, and we're going to have fun, and it's going to be a great time. And from the opening song of Jam and Me, that was covered by a gentleman from a cover band called Southern Accent, I was like, I remember looking at Alan looking up at me going, holy shit. Because right. I knew right then, I'm like, this is going to be incredible. And, you know, 4 hours later or 4.5 hours later, however long it was, because it was long. Right. It was an amazing show. And, shout out to those guys. That was crazy. And to do that on a Tuesday night. And I know it's probably not like that every Tuesday night because of just of, you know, timing and stuff like that. And that night was pretty special, but
right.
Wow. Wow is a word. So
I mean, I wasn't Go ahead, Alan. Go ahead.
I was just going to say my favorite part of the whole night was the fact that I'm the shortest guy in the group, and I had the easiest time getting from the stage to the back room, back to the stage, three or four times.
It was a 500.
That place was packed.
It was a 500 capacity room, and at one point there were people lined up outside, and when you left, you did not come back in. So we had got there. The doors opened at 7. We got there. Alan and I arrived about 10 after 7, probably.
Yeah, it was something like that.
And Bill was already there. And it wasn't a big crowd at that point, so we were able to get in there, got right up next to the stage. My first impression, like I said, I'm not a big Tom Petty fan, but I was just blown away by the sound system. I mean, it was clear. It was loud. I mean, it was rock concert type. You felt it, heard it. you know, and it was a really good sound.
It's amazing what an experienced sound engineer can do for you.
Exactly.
Don't forget, when Alan and Dennis arrived, we also arrived with our good friend Brian Harris.
Yes, Brian Harris went down with us, and Rod Bennett with us too.
Who, by the way, I kept calling David because I got David and him mixed up. So
I was referring to another
great podcast fan, but Brian, right. I know who you are. I got it, and it won't happen again, man. It was great hanging out. We had a great time. Nope, I got it.
Don't feel bad, Bill, because I met him earlier that week. Went to meet him for just a couple beers over there. He was going to be at the Mexican restaurant, so he called us or we got a hold of each other, and Brian's and he's like, going, "Hey, let's just go have a beer." And Alan was supposed to go, but we had to switch nights or something. I don't remember what it was, and Alan couldn't do it. So we're sitting there talking, and we were talking about all the concerts he saw. It was really neat. And I'm finally at the end. I'm like, "Well, it was sure nice meeting you, David." I mean, he goes, "Brian," and I'm like, "Oh shit." I did the same thing. I mean, I'm done with that.
I figured it out later in the night, but I had been doing it all evening, and I'm like, he never said anything, and he's probably like, what the hell's wrong with these guys? On last week's episode, I thought that Todd played with Ace and even with a note right here that says, Bruce, but hey, I just, anyway.
But they were, but that, like I said, that show, for me, when I knew it was going to be a hell of a show, was the second song they did. They did Junior's Farm, and they got started playing it, and that was just with the band itself. They had no special guest on that one, and it was
their bass player started playing that one. Yeah,
isn't it? Judd Fuller is his name, and they got started in that little double lead at the very beginning. I'm like, oh shit, this is going to be good. This is going to be really good. And like I said, it was. They had all kinds of different people. And like I said, I know most of them that were there are talent from Nashville itself, which has just an overflow of just people. There was not one mediocre person in that whole bunch that came in to play with them. And there was a list of people here. I'm just going to just real quick. Derek St. Holmes, of course, you know, he was with he's Ted Nugent's singer and guitar player for years. Lizzie Hale. Joe Hotlinger, Chuck Garrick from Alice Cooper Band, Rachel Bolan from Skid Row, Rod Hammersmith, Babe Buell, Sandy Gennaro. You can read this whole list, but it's on the
website. It's been posted for like three times. So,
and I found there's a guy who posted most of the videos, Tyson Leslie. He was a guy who played the guitar and was up there a couple, played keyboards, but it was really neat. Just the variety of music that we got. I mean, you got some deep cuts, you got some popular music. I mean, it was just a night of, and it was a lot of songs that are not your atypical cover band songs. They're like, oh my god, I can't believe they're gonna pull this off, you know, kind of shit. You know, you don't hear Frankenstein very often, and Boston, you know, Peace of Mind.
Frankenstein was badass.
It was all bad. There's only a couple songs for me that were just like whatever, but you know, it was great. The overall, in general, it was ridiculous.
Really,
so that's where Bill was going. That's nice. Now play Love Gun.
Yeah.
No. That would, I'd be anything other than that, actually. It'll be fine. But anyway, great show.
Funny,
and
real quick,
definitely worth it.
Funny story, real quick, about that. Rodney and I were standing a little bit farther back. We had took a pee at one time, and we were coming back up for this tall, us big guys, it's hard of us, you know, for get back up to the front of the thing. So we were standing behind Bill and Brian and Alan there for a little bit. They were closer. You were like about two, three people.
There was one person in front of me.
But we're sitting there, and this gosh damn, what's her name? She was she's the bass player, Dana Radford. She is the bass player's wife, Jeff Fuller's wife. She comes out, and they do "Never Been Any Reason" by Rosalind Collins Band. Which was a really good, but her and Phil sang
Never
that
Been
one.
Any Reason is a Head East song.
Was it Head East? I thought it was Rosin. Which one is Rosin?
Oh,
was it?
Way off.
Yeah, I was off on that. Sorry about that. Anyway.
We don't expect it to be accurate. We just expect there to be words.
What is that Rosin Collins song that's kind of similar to that song? I don't know why I was thinking it was that.
I never was a Rosington Collins
fan.
She is
a powerhouse singer. I mean, super powerhouse singer. And so Rod and I were, comment boys, like, man, she's just kicking it, Well, then they play Love Hurts by Nazareth. And we're sitting there, and I'm taping it on my phone. I'm sitting there kind of doing a little bit, trying to do this shit and watching it on my phone. And it just is, her voice was just, it was a soul gut-wrenching version of this. And I finally go, I'm going to quit videotaping. I got to watch this. I just got to be in the moment, So I'm doing this, and man, I'm telling you what, my eyes got all, I got whelped up. I'm sitting here, I was kind of choked up. I was like, going, man, that's so good. And I'm feeling embarrassed. I'm just looking straight. I got my blinders on. I'm like, just hope I can get this. Nobody. And the funny thing was, I turned and I looked at my buddy Rodney. He had his glasses off. He's wiping his eyes. He looked at me and goes, I'm crying, man. I'm fucking crying. I'm going, well, I don't feel so bad now. But it was just a, it was just caught up. It was just the way it sounded and the way she sang. I was like, God, I saw her later. I was like going, you wouldn't believe you had 2 50-year-old guys over here fucking crying. It was so good. And but now she, like I said, the whole night was just a spectacular evening. And that's a great venue too, at Mercy Lounge. It was in Nashville. Actually, it was fairly easy to get in considering the traffic. We got rerouted right through downtown, and it actually went pretty quick. And then getting home wasn't bad. But unfortunately, so this whole thing was on a school night. So I had planned, have plans go. I had planned to be almost probably home by 1:30 in the morning, because they had talked about, this show runs from usually 8 o'clock to about 11 o'clock. It's
12:30
show, 3-hour show. And 11 o'clock came, and I'm like going, man, I know the people that's going to be playing, and they ain't even got close to getting toward the end. I'm like, well, you know what? Suck it up, buttercup. So it was 12:30 when we finally got out of that place. And I got home, just stripped down, hit the bed. It was 3:10. I woke up at 4:15, had to go to the bathroom, and then my alarm went off at 5. And I got up, went to work. I did fairly well till about right after lunch, about 11 o'clock. And then it's like I just hit a brick wall, and I just trudged through to the end of the
day. I'm pretty sure I was in bed before you guys got in Nashville.
Oh, I guarantee it. That drive home was rough. It was like, my God. And I didn't want to drink coffee, because then if I drink enough coffee to stay awake, then when I get home, I'm not going to be able to sneak that power nap in, before work. So, but it was a good time. Good time had by all. And we all enjoyed it. And
was a great way to finish up the year.
It was. And if they do another show at some point next year, if you see that they are running something, we'll actually post it on here and go to Nashville. It's fucking free. It didn't cost a dime to get in. That's the crazy part. We paid $5 to park, but other than, and the beers were cheap. Hell, beers were, I only had a couple cause I would, had to drive at night. The hell, beers were like, what, $5, $6, I think, or something like that.
Four.
I don't know. I sent you and Rod to go get my drinks.
But no, it was good, and I tell you what, there's a lot of cool people in Nashville. Everybody in that venue, because it was so packed. You couldn't walk without bumping into somebody or going through. Everybody there was super friendly. They've got a really cool scene down there too. These people are all kind of, they're dressed kind of mod, kind of, they got these real cool rock type vintage clothing on, and just the people even in the audience, and it's just a really cool scene. I wish our town had something even fucking sort of similar to that. But
speaking of your town, when I was in Evansville over the holiday, I saw that there was an actual television ad for Godsmack and Volbeat. That's going to be at the Ford Center.
Yeah. They
just surprised me. I didn't really expect there to be actual promotion going on.
Promotion for a rock concert in Evansville. Somebody's getting fired.
Exactly. I have seen it in the, I've seen it on Facebook, and I've seen it in the paper. I think I have not, and I heard a radio ad, but I have not seen a TV ad. But I don't watch TV, so I don't see shit like that. If I do, I TiVo it and scream through the fucking commercials.
Yep.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they don't spend a lot of time, especially rock shows. They don't put hardly. Hell, and like I said, when we also seen Priest, people are like going, they, friends of mine who are Priest fans didn't even know they were in town. That's how bad it was. Yeah. So anyway,
that crowd was embarrassingly small.
Oh, yeah. I felt terrible. And it was a great show.
Yeah, it was in Steel Panther. That was great.
Double fun. So anyway, I guess that's about all we got to say about. You got anything else you want to say about that show?
Well, I don't want to say anything about the show. I want to jump in and get some shout outs in.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Yeah. Run it.
Shout. Do it. We're loud.
Shout outs to the people who shared our Tall Stanley show. Sonny Pooney from Podcast Rock City. Bill Algie. Steve Wright. Dennis Talbot. Brian Harris. Craig Osborne. Alan Tate. There's a bunch of dudes in there.
There's some nice dudes in there,
too. On Twitter, somebody named Desiree Kelly, and I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly, M-I-H-A-L-I-C-Z.
Don't even go there.
Don't even. Thanks, Kelly. Slash Fan Club from France. Slash Fan Club Paradise City. Todd Dammit Kearns. R and F and R. I assume they're a Guns N' Roses fan club. And Stephen Bryant.
Cool.
So thank you all. Thank you all for sharing. We always appreciate it. And keep it up.
Yeah, that was
speaking
a fun
of
show.
Sharing. Our YouTube channel has reached over 200 viewers, subscribers.
Subscribers,
which is cool.
Yeah,
yay! Some of you out there may think 200, that's not very many. Hey, trust me, when you're doing this gig, 200 is a milestone. Exactly. and we will take it.
And there are actually 200 real people, too.
Well, I don't know. Dennis doesn't look too real. I think he subscribes.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though.
Just kidding.
But, so anyway,
one,
yeah.
I only fake one thing, and YouTube subscribing ain't it.
Yeah, me too. All right, boys. Well, 2018 is coming to an end, and
let's stick with the concert stuff. So, what shows have you seen that were memorable for 2018?
I got a couple.
Besides that show.
Oh, besides that show. Well, you guys go ahead. I got a couple, but go ahead.
Alan, what you got, man?
Alan, what'd you see that was good?
Oh, I saw. Of course, I went to Rocklahoma like I do every year, so I've already gotten to see Godsmack on this tour, so I don't have to waste my time going to Ford Center. I am actually not a Godsmack fan, but they put on a really good show. You know, I don't particularly. I shouldn't even say anything rude about it because it's just me, but I guess it's kind of impressive to watch Sully get on and do a drum solo drum off with the real drummer in the band. You know, they do that, and I think Sully plays guitar a few times. But, I mean, overall, it is a really good show. They don't just stand on stage and, as Paul Stanley says, look at their feet. You know, they're a very active band. They're a very good band. You know, just I never was a big fan of them, but I'm glad to say that I got to see them. So while
it was a good show for me, but I just don't like Sully. He's an asshole.
Well, most of the people that we like are assholes, dude. Hey, Sully, you want to come on our show?
I wish he would, because I like to fucking tell him what I think. Oh, he was really rude. He was rude to the crowd at the Ford Center when I seen it.
You know,
so.
Well, you know, he wasn't rude at Rocklahoma. The one that was the rudest to the crowd that kind of cracked me up was Ian Astbury from The Cult.
Right.
You know, of course, their set was at like 3 in the afternoon, so most of the people are been standing out in the sun, and they're already drunk.
So the 12 people that saw it don't give a shit anyway.
Well, there were at least 14 people there. But it was so funny because between every song, he would bitch at the crowd for not being more participative.
Well, that's because he sucks.
And at one point, he's like, come on, fuckers, this is a rock show, not a funeral.
See, that sounds just like Sully at the Ford Center.
But, you know, honestly, one of the highlights of Rocklahoma for me this year was Lizzie Hale getting on stage with Tom Kiefer and doing Nobody's Fool.
That's cool.
You know, like Dennis said when that girl was singing at the residency, he got all choked up. Right. That was really the only time I can ever remember being at a show and getting choked up at a performance.
Wow.
Yeah. And, cool. Of course, Hailstorm was there, and I saw them, like, 3 times this year.
Right.
Yeah. I may or may not be a Hailstorm fan. But I do have to say, Lizzie, let your hair grow back out. I like it longer.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, the punk look is kind of, it's okay. But yeah, whatever. Is that it?
Let's see. Man, I saw so many good concerts this year. Laura and I went and saw Keith Urban. I can't remember if John Bon Jovi was this year or last year, but that was a terrible show. I believe that was last year.
You saw Elton this year?
That was last year.
Was it last year?
Yep, it's been over a year already.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was in November of 2017.
Wow.
Yeah. The years go by so fast anymore, and shit just blurs.
Yeah, I try to keep an Excel spreadsheet so I can kind of keep track of when I see who. Started it a couple years ago, but I never remember to go to the show and then come home and add it. I'm just like months later, and I'm like, oh, did I go to that show? And I have to go look stuff up. And
I know I've asked you 15 times, Alan, but the ELO, I know it's coming up. When is that?
Oh, or I don't know that. I saw ELO earlier this year. See?
That was earlier this year.
I forgot.
So you did see it.
Yeah, okay, that was earlier this year. Laura and I drove up to Chicago.
That was in August or something, wasn't it?
That's right.
August, September.
That's right. It was like August 18th or something. It was around my dad's birthday.
But you bought those tickets.
Those tickets were bought like in January of last year.
See, that's what I hate. I've got three sets of tickets, and some of them aren't till August next year. I'm like, you almost forget you got tickets to these damn events.
Well, that's so they can get more money. They're gonna put all that money in a bank and draw some interest off of it.
True.
Yeah, I've got tickets to see Metallica in Louisville in March. And Mike, I'll see you there.
Yeah,
tickets. Gosh, I believe it was in February.
Yeah,
That's when we started bitching about that, wasn't it?
Well, that's when Bill started bitching about it.
Yeah, because I was going to get tickets for it, but I'm like, I'm not paying $150 to sit in the nosebleed and then also giving them that kind of money to draw interest off of for a freaking year. So
exactly.
It's not like they need the money. So I had. Is that it, Alan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a couple shows I thought were really pretty memorable. The Alice Cooper show that we saw in March, that Alan and I went to, I thought that was a great show.
I forgot about that too.
Yeah, that was a great. I really liked that show. That was a really good show. And then the Ozzy show. I'd never seen Ozzy before, so this year seeing Ozzy, and it was really cool because Stone Sour opened, and I like Stone Sour. I'm not a huge Stone Sour fan, but I liked them. I was very impressed. They had a really good stage show. I thought the songs were really good. And then, the last big show I went to, which was Daughtry, I had really, fairly low expectations for that show. Cause we bought the tickets cause some friends of mine really liked them. I like him. I liked his older stuff. Right. But by the end of that show, I was like, it was really good. I was very impressed. His band was great. He was very personable. And so I really liked that show. So those are three shows. And then I had on the number one on my list was the Rock and Roll Residency show. I think that was probably the best show I saw this year.
Yeah.
And even though it's a club show, it just because of the variety and musicianship and all that kind of stuff. So, but we got to see Gene Simmons this year, which was cool as hell. Ace play this year, which was cool as hell. There's some stuff that we got to see this year that's very unique that we haven't seen before. So
Four by Fate, we've seen Fraley's Comet.
There's when you start thinking about it, it's like, damn, there's really some.
have to start taking better notes because
you're thinking
that
you're like,
said, I
hung out with Gene fucking Simmons. Come on. How could I not bring that up?
Yeah,
so I can't because I wasn't there. But anyway,
and that all happened because of the Gene Simmons thing. All happened because of our connection with Ryan and Phil and Jeremy. And actually, it was really Phil. Phil kind of worked that out for us. So, and not knowing, it was kind of funny. I have a little section of highlights for the year. So I'll leave that for later. But anyway, so those are the shows that I thought were pretty cool. So
cool.
I'm segueing into something I don't want to get into yet.
Gotcha. All right. For me, I had, this was a year for a lot of firsts. And that's one thing I do like. I've seen saw quite a few people this summer. But the highlights for me were finally, I'm starting to see a lot of people that I didn't get to see. Fraley's Comet, That was a really cool thing. You know, the Four by Fate show, that was really, I mean, they were too short, unfortunately. I wish they was, it would have been a full concert. Going to see Peter Frampton. That to me was
a super duper
highlight. That was just, even my wife, who's not a huge, you know, Peter Frampton fan, just loved that show. You know, and we saw Steve Miller at that same show, but the Peter Frampton thing was just so good. I mean, it was just, it was somebody that I've liked since a kid. I was a kid, and it was my expectations were way low, and it was super high. We went to see Smashing Pumpkins too. Wasn't my favorite music type show. I mean, I liked some of their songs. The show itself, the visual portion of it, was one of the best visual things, how they did the screens and moving around and stuff. It was just a really entertaining show as far as a visual type situation. And it was probably one of the clearest shows that I've ever heard. Like I said, these new digital systems are just fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Another person that I got to see for the first time was Don Felder. That Don Felder show was another one of those sleepers that I was like going, you know, we almost didn't show up in time, but I was like, yeah, you know, that's the one we went and seen REO and Styx, and they were the opener. And I told Roger, says, get there early. And I'm telling you what, I'd kick myself in the ass if I hadn't seen that show. I mean, that Don Felder show was just supreme. You know, not only did he play some of his solo stuff, you know, he did quite a few Eagles stuff, and it was just a spectacular show. Just, you know, wasn't expecting it. That's the ones I like, the ones that just kind of come out of left field and, you know, whacking the back of the head. It's like, God damn, man, this is really good.
And, yeah, I saw Don Felder a few years ago in St. Louis, and that was, I felt kind of the same way. It's like, well, he's just going to play a bunch of Eagles songs, but he played them well and he sang them pretty well.
That was a surprise that I saw. You know, I thought, well, you know, he's going to probably have somebody else singing. You know, he's just the guitar player stuff. That dude can sing. I mean, it was no doubt. And he had a backup band too. That was just, I mean, of course, he got the best players he could find, and it was really good. Then at one point, Tommy Shaw came out, did a song with him, and who else was it that came out there? But anyway, it was a really good.
Was it the drummer for the Styx?
No, it was who was it? I can't. It's been so long ago, I can't even remember who it was. Somebody from REO. It was one of the guitar players from REO, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The guy took Rich Rest's place. But yeah, I know. Like I said, it was a good year for, like you said, the seeing stuff that I'd never seen before. I'm trying to do more of that. I'd like to find. I know Chicago is coming here at Evansville pretty soon, and I'm going to try to get tickets for that because I would like to see that show.
To the best of my knowledge, the horn players are all still the original members.
Are they still original?
It seems like that was that Chicago documentary that was on CNN a couple years ago. It seems to me that all three of those guys are original members.
Okay.
Now I'm sure that if I am wrong and we have listeners that are Chicago fans, we will find out soon.
Well, I mean, that band, you know, over the years has been a revolving door of people and musicians. And I think now it's just whoever can show up for the show. They have a kind of a rotating bunch of musicians that come in there. You know, to me, it's just the music. You know, I love some of that old Chicago, you know, their old songs. And just to hear them play live, especially with all the horns and the different instruments, that's something I just think would be really cool. And but anyway, that's what basically. Oh, and then we got to see Foo Fighters again this year, so that was a night
to see the Foo Fighters.
Right. Well, we both did. And that was the year before. And then, like I said, I had to wait till March to see him. And actually, it was the night you guys went to see Gene Simmons. So that's kind of that was a sucky win for me.
I'm pretty sure we won. maybe confident. If you have to score the shows, we won.
That's true. But I did.
Now the funny part about that is everything was running late, and we didn't think we were going to get to do the backstage thing. You know, the meet and greet. Right. That was. We were like, well,
perseverance paid off.
We got free tickets to a show, so it still ain't all bad.
Exactly.
The disappointment for that day for me though was. When we were standing on stage waiting for them to go into Do You Love Me, and Gene busted my balls for having my arms crossed, I was disappointed that nobody got that on video and posted it on YouTube. If you recorded that show, put that fucking thing on YouTube so I can see it. It's funny.
If you would have farted or threw up, it'd be on YouTube and be viral.
I'm not surprised by that, because there were people trying to get people. There were people on stage trying to get people on the floor. I mean, you know, to videotape for them, and they wouldn't do it. Because there was a guy standing next to me that was trying to get some woman down there that was just standing there to videotape for him. And she's like, I ain't doing it.
Well,
it was
weird. That was the guy that was trying to push me away from the microphone. Yeah, I'm like, no, buddy, I got here first. Fuck off.
Yep. I will beat your ass.
But that's the ass for me, concert-wise. That's what I had. So
you know, thinking about that, so what were those highlights from the year that you just kind of go, I can't believe that happened? I for me, it was the Gene Simmons thing. It was like, can't believe that happened. I can't believe that we were sitting there. I can't believe the whole thing. I can't believe it.
Well, that is a high number one for me on that one, because we were there together. And then the following week, we were in Indianapolis for the Kiss Expo. And I went back and had Ace sign my Fraley's Comet album. And, you know, I had my name on there, and he asked if I was kin to Steve. And I'm like, Steve who? And he's like, Steve Allen. And then he did a stupid Ace accent. Frehley laugh, you know. I was like, how could that not be a highlight? You know, because when I met Ace 10 years prior to that, he was coming off of drugs and alcohol. He was not in a good mood. He didn't want to be there, you know. Right. And it was obvious he didn't want to be there, because he was being an ass to everyone. Right. So, you know, to have him do a complete 180 and be a completely different person, yeah, that was a highlight.
Right. Yeah.
And that's all I got to say about that.
Well, I think that, you know, I think the other stuff too that for me were high, well, couple things. One was for me was getting a text message or Twitter message, direct message from Jeff Pilson that said, yeah, I like to be on your show. Or I like to be on, I'll do the show when I'm sitting in my son's National Honor Society meeting, and about flipped my lid and had a stroke. actually jumped up and ran out. My wife's like, what is going on? and then him being on the show. So him being on the show for me was, that's, you know, we've all kind of got our list of people that we'd love to have on the show. And that was one of my top two or three people. And I was just amazed. And then to later get to have his manager get me a meet and greet, and at least get to meet him and say hello and spend 2 minutes or whatever it was just phenomenal. So And to think back, you know, sometimes I have to pinch myself and think back about 3 years ago when we were talking about doing this thing. Or over 3 years ago, we were talking about doing this thing. Never imagined any of this stuff would ever happen. You know, the stuff that's happened, you know, going to the Atlanta Expo and hanging out with our guys that we talk to a lot and stuff like that. And that whole thing for me was just cool. I mean, it was really cool being with those guys. It was cool seeing Vinny for the first time. It was, being part of that. That's a part of history that, you know, there were, I don't know, 500 people there.
Yeah.
You know, if there are only 500 people or whatever, however many people there were there, that only got to see that, not 50,000 people. So, you know, now after the YouTube videos came out, there were thousands, but you know, that stuff to me was cool. And then the Indie Expo was cool. You know, and meeting, you know, sitting down and talking to those guys. And the cool thing was seeing people that we've interviewed before, and they're like, yeah, I know who you are. And we talk and, you know, and having Christopher Williams and E.T. Brown take over the show.
That was funny.
You're welcome.
Which was funny. That was great. And you know, it just, there's just been a lot of stuff. It's been a really cool year. I've had a great time. It's been an amazing experience. That's for dang sure.
Like I said, bringing up that Indie Expo, that's exactly my sentiment also. You know, when we first started this, you know, to me, it always seemed like all these people that we listen to and the people we watch on YouTube and see and go in concert, they always seem like different people. They're just like, they're unattainable. Unattainable. You know, they're just at a different height than we are, you know, kind of deal. But
no, nobody's as tall as you guys are. Good Lord.
Rod is taller.
Exactly. But over the last 3 years, you know, we've been lucky enough to interview these people. And like I said, with the expo, you know, even when we weren't interviewing people, you know, we were sitting over there and these guys would be walking by and they'd sit down at our booth. But I mean, they wouldn't it wasn't like we're sitting there interviewing. We were just talking normal, you know, busting balls to each other. And you start finding out that these people, they're just no different than us. You know, they just are a little cooler.
They just have a better job.
Better job. They enjoy what they do.
They have a different job. I don't know if sometimes they think it's better, but they have a different job.
But you find out that these people are, you know, they get up in the morning just like we do. They like sport, you know,
they don't get up in the morning. They get up after lunch.
Yeah, they get up after 11.
Because they've been up late. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it is neat. And like I said, as far as the oh, wow moments, you know, my vault was a really cool experience for me this summer, you know, actually getting to. I've met Gene a couple times, you know, like I say in these at the worldwide conventions and stuff like that. But actually getting to talk, I mean, in a personal level when you're talking eye to eye, that's a really cool thing. Even with that, and that show too was really cool because you saw Ace and Vinny in the same room and on the same stage together. That was something that I never, ever thought I would see. I mean, that was something that was one of those things like, that ain't never going to happen. I would have bet money, you know, in Vegas on that one. You know, that this shit's never going to happen. Here's $1,000. I'm going to win, you know.
I'd have bet money that Ace Frehley would not high-five Tommy Thayer. And he didn't.
Kiss Cruise. But yeah, I mean, and then like I said, there were so many cool things. You know, the Rockin' Pod Expo in Nashville, that was a lot of fun that day. We had a good time. Just like I said, and just like I said, luckily the people that we have interviewed, the people that we've met, are other people who have podcasts that we've, you know, friended and now are, you know, just, you know, we converse quite a bit, talk, you know, bust each other's balls, and it's just a really great community, and it's been really cool this year. So hopefully this next year with these end of the road shows, we'll meet up with a bunch of these people and have some fun.
Speaking of expos, the Rockin' Pod number 3 is coming to a theater near you, I guess,
in the planning
stage. A place near you, and I guess there's a big plan. So Chris, keep working, bud. If you need some help, holla, because we'll help you. And
we'll be there.
There you go. He's got a special guest he's cooking. Can't talk about it.
Oh, really?
I know somebody he'd like to cook.
He's changed his feelings about some people over the year, I think.
Yeah.
Which is all right.
But you know what? Those changes in feelings were not none of his own doing. It was the person who
proved him right. So proved him right, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. Did.
Let's see. Other momentum, other stuff. So let's talk about records. What do we got for our, I wrote down three things that I thought were great, great albums from 2018. So one of them, was Red Rain. We had Sammy from that band on the show back, I think, in March or something like that, a while ago. And the promoter sent me a copy of the CD, and I listened to that damn thing about, it's an EP, but I listened to that thing about once a week or once every other week. It just, I just love the whole thing. Is really, really good. So that album for me, the Toot Giver album, I mean, good God, that thing is.
Damn it, boy, covers. You stole my album.
Damn it, Todd.
Stole mine, too. I like that.
It's great stuff. So
Todd, damn it.
And actually, the Judas Priest album, too, is really good.
That was a really good one.
It's actually a great rock record from back in the day that they just you know, it's really good stuff. So for me, those are three things that I wrote down as very notable. That are really great records.
Yeah. I really haven't got much to add to that. I thought, unlike you, the Tuke album is just on a regular rotation. I can't want more. The Priest album was, that's a heavy hitter this summer. I mean, that's a really good album. I did like that too. My brain is not working. We're doing this early in the morning. So, and I just went and seen a terrible movie. So, my brain's not working right now, but yeah, I agree with you on that. There was some good. Oh, the Garden of Eden.
I
like those guys too. That was some. The whole point was just a lot of good new music this summer. Mm-hmm. It was really cool stuff that was completely off my freaking radar, and bands that I wish would have stayed together. And you know, one of the ones that we interviewed here recently, they're going through some turmoil. Have you been seeing that? Colin, Collins Band.
Oh, Inglorious.
there's a lot of hate.
Yeah, there's some.
Some bad blood.
Some bad blood. Going on there.
Which is unfortunate because that was another one of my favorite albums this year.
Yeah.
That was a real good one too. Yeah. Glorious has been doing some good shit. So anyway, Alan, you got any good ones?
Well, no, y'all have already mentioned Red Rain, Took, and Garden of Eden. So what else is there?
I don't know.
Well, does anybody have anything to say about the Ace Frehley album, Spaceman?
I've only listened to that once, and it was okay for me. It wasn't, I didn't like overly get into it. It wasn't something that just swept me off my feet or anything.
Well, what I will say about that album is, with the exception of the 1978 solo album, I think that's the second best album that he has put out in his non-Kiss days. Because Frehley's Comet is my favorite of his solo albums, hands down.
Yeah.
You know, and then Second Sighting is a Todd Howarth album. You know, and Ace Frehley just guested on it a couple of times. Trouble Walking was okay. I didn't like Space Invader. I didn't like Anomaly. There's a couple of okay moments on there. The cover album Origins had some shining moments, but for the most part, it needed a little more polish. But I did like the Spaceman album much better.
Yeah, I'm like you. I think some of those ones in the middle are just kind of very forgetful. I tell you, the one I liked off that's when Mission to Mars, the song off there, wasn't written by him. It was written by this guy and girl. I don't from this other band, but that's one of my favorite songs on the album. It's grown on me. It's one of those things I don't go to it. I don't know. It's not one of the ones I keep in a heavy rotation, but I won't turn it off if it comes on.
I did get, for Christmas, I got the Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers Greatest Hits album.
Cool.
I got the Steve Perry album, the new Steve Perry album. I've listened to it a few times, and it's not Journey.
No.
Which is okay, but it's good for it. To me, it would be good to just have on and have dinner and that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
it's not a put it in the car and turn it on and
get a speeding ticket listening to that album.
You will not get a speeding, and that's okay. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. But so yep, I got those two albums. So
One thing I do like about that album is they didn't doctor his voice or anything. I mean,
there are some places where it's a little
rough and it's a little strange.
He was also smart enough to stay in a range that he knew he wouldn't.
Yeah, he ain't singing all that shit like he used to. So it gives it that real kind of
limits.
It's a real sounding album, which I do like about that. You know,
an emotional album for him. So
it is. Yeah, it is, and that's what it is. It's kind of a slower. I mowed grass with it one day, and it took me a little longer to mow. But
I never mow grass to stuff like that. Everything is like
it's like Metallica and shit.
Something. It's got to be something harder than that.
A little bit more beats per minute.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man, it's been a great year. I'm glad that we had another year under our belt, and still hard to believe that we're doing this for on our third year, right? And
you knuckleheads are awesome. A pretty good bunch of knuckleheads to do a show with.
Yep.
Exactly. Hopefully this next year we're gonna get a bunch of cool guests and cool topics and talk about some shows. Like I said, I got some shows and coming up. We'll be talking, I'm sure, a lot of Kiss because that'll be the big topic of the year. You heard anything? You've been watching some of that stuff about the. It's kind of interesting. They're talking about the new stage, the new end of the road stage. The other day,
it's hard to tell what it. I mean, it's big. It's always bigger. It's always better. It's always badder. It's always the best thing I've ever seen.
Best thing since Destroyer.
It's never. Yeah. It's always so. Until you see it, who knows? I'm going to try very hard, as hard as I possibly can, because I go to the first show that I go to is in March.
You're not going to watch anything.
So I'm going to try to not watch anything until March. So
I will.
I'm going to try very hard and do not. I don't want to hear about it.
No, they.
You better get off social media then, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
Can't talk to us. Can't do the show. No, No, it was kind of neat though. The other day, Keith LaRue was talking about going down to Vegas, flying to Vegas, and then going out to the show. Interesting thing about that was that he went down to Prim, Nevada, right on the California-Nevada border there at this big casino, and they got a stadium on the back side of this casino, and that's where they set the stage up and was rented it out to do all the tryouts and stuff. I went to the Prim. That's where we went. We went to Vegas this summer. Max and I, we drove down to Prim because they got this roller coaster that runs around the outside of the thing. It's out in the middle of fucking nowhere. You're just driving forever out in the desert, and it's here. Kind of funny that they picked that area for that venue to try this thing out.
It was probably cheap and nobody would be able to, and nobody else would know what was going on.
Exactly. Oh, I guarantee that's why they did it. You know, you don't do it down in fucking LA or something, you know. But it's going to be interesting to see how everything. Been no word yet on any kind of opening bands, have they?
Nope.
I doubt you're going to get opening bands until a couple of weeks. Get anybody
bigger? You think they're going to do locally kind of shit like they did before?
I don't know. I kind of like to see them do local bands. You know, that way it's a different opener ever so often, and it gives the hometown people some street cred.
That's true. Yeah, that would be the, I don't know. I like to see.
But of course, I can remember a time around here when, you know, some of our favorite local bands were like, yeah, man, I opened up for Quiet Riot. Yeah, at the Oxygen in front of 30 people.
Exactly. And it wasn't really Quiet Riot. It was.
Well, it was Quiet Riot because Kevin Drabo was still alive. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Quite a while ago.
Well, they played it when they played down at the Armory that time with and Kevin and Book and him opened up BSR open for that one.
That's correct.
It was all four original members of that. That was what was cool. That was a small
that was probably back in like 94 or something, 93.
Yeah, it was
the four metal health lineup, because they played at a country bar in Colorado Springs, and I was just dying laughing because how bad is it that you're playing in a country bar.
I saw Great White at the 8 Second Saloon in Indianapolis.
that was BSR, Slaughter, Warrant, and with Janie Lane, and the original lineup of Quiet Riot. That was a good show.
Cool.
I saw Kansas in a bar in Oklahoma. Isn't that kind of funny? I could have seen Oklahoma in a bar in Kansas, you know. But
if you could have seen Kansas in a bar in Kansas, that'd have been cool.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. That would have been cool. But anyway, yeah, that's kind of neat. But, you know, like I said, I'm hoping that 2019 is as fun as this one was. I hope we're all still happy and healthy and, you know, that kind of bullshit. Ta-da.
And on that note, I think we're out of here. Visit us on agentsofrock.com. Check out our social media. Hit us up on Stitcher Radio. And don't forget, we are rebroadcast on Mondays on 195 The Globe at 3 p.m. Central. Till next year, peace out. Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.